And the word of the Lord says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Let us pray. Father, I pray that you would search my heart, Father. Father, I pray that you would search our heart as a church. Father, to see if there's any darkness in us, what darkness is in us, Father, and bring that to light so that we can grow more like Christ and more like the church that you designed and you want to grow, Father. Father, I pray as we hear about the Holy Spirit today, Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come and fill this place. But when we go out and we feel the Spirit move, what do we do with it? Father, I pray that we would put that focus on all those that need the gospel, Father. Those that don't know Christ. Father, that we would go and share with the good news. Father, I pray for our pastor today that you would use him mightily. Father, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. How many of you feel that there's been a point in your life that you have not lived up to your potential? Many reasons for that. You know, maybe you're just lazy, right? Maybe you didn't have anybody to motivate you. Maybe you weren't in the right environment to feel like you could fulfill your potential. But I'll tell you, one of the hardest things for me to face is to look at people and see wasted potential. And that makes it real hard to be a South Carolina Gamecocks fan. Season after season, this is the year, right? I was the chaplain for the Louisville football team for a few years, and continually I would see young men on this team that had so much potential. They could have gone to college to play, some of them even making it all the way to the NFL likely, is at least one of them for sure. And yet time after time, these young men would allow something else to get in the way. They wouldn't do the hard work in the classroom, and so they wouldn't get to play anymore. They wouldn't do the hard work on the field, and they thought talent would be enough, and it just runs out at some point, right? And it's just squandered potential. I think a lot of that tracks back to my own life, my own teenage years, where I didn't strive. You know, I'm not a small man, and never played football in high school. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but the biggest thing is that it was just wasted potential of what might have been. And worse than athletics, though, is how many people do this as followers of Jesus Christ. How many of us aren't living up to our full potential of what we could be? Because if you have put your faith in Jesus, if you are indwelled by the Spirit of God, then the power of God, the power that raised Christ from the dead, it lives in you. And so if that power lives in you, for you not to do anything with it is just wasted potential. And it robs God of His glory that could be displayed in you. That's what this passage teaches us. That we have the power within us. When we come to saving faith, when we reach that point where we recognize the depths of our sinfulness, but the depths of Christ's love, where we see that His grace is unlimited and it is a fountain that you can dive into and never reach the bottom of. When we see that and we put our faith in Jesus, in that moment we are indwelled by the Spirit of God, and the very power that raised our Savior is in us. But until we're willing to do something with it, it is just wasted potential. Acts 1:8, right? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will, certainty, be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria until the ends of the earth. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is certain. The power that comes from Him is certain. And your witnessing is certain. The only question is, will you be a good witness or a bad witness? Right? Will you display the power of God in your life to overcome sin, to overcome temptation, to live a godly life, or will you waste it and allow that power to sit in you untapped? Jesus talked about this in His own ministry, right? When you read the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, He talks about the fact that when we are given something by God, we have a responsibility to do something with it. That we're not just to say, oh, well, I got this, but you know, God, I didn't want to mess anything up, and so I just never did anything with it. I went and buried it. No, we are to maximize its potential, right? We are to put what God has given us into the labor that God has called us to, into the good works that He planned beforehand for us. We're to put it into those, and we're to maximize it, to do everything that we can to make sure that there is a return of glory for the Lord. Paul talks about this with Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. He tells him to fan the flame, the gift that is within him. To fan the flame. To not allow it to just sit idly by. To not just say, oh, I can rest on what happened yesterday. Or all I have to do is worry about my own salvation. You know, I got my ticket to heaven and I'm just riding it out until I get there. No, he says, fan the flame, the gift that is within you. Use it. Study. Immerse yourself in places where you can use this gift, where that power can show through you so that God is glorified in you. Don't be idle. And I'm going to say Timothy probably had a pretty busy schedule, right? That's a lot of our excuse for not tapping into that power, right? Well, I just got so much to do. I got so many places to be. I have so many obligations that I just don't see the time. I don't see how I'm supposed to tap into this power and put it to use in my life. I tell you, that mindset, that thinking what you've got to do in your schedule is more important than God's schedule, that is a dangerous thing to do, because James 4:17 says, he who knows what to do and does not do it, for him that is sin. So we talk about, we stand on stage, many pastors, and we talk about all the things you ought not do, right? We talk about the things that lead you astray in that, the getting high and the getting drunk and the pornography and all of these things. We talk about the gossip, the gluttony. We talk about all these things you shouldn't do. But if you know what to do to be His witness, to go and share Jesus, to care for those that are needy and hurting, to look after those that are in prison, when we know to do all those things and yet we do not do it, you know what that is? That is sin. That is untapped into potential. God has given you everything you need to obey Him. If you belong to Him, the shackles of sin are broken. You do not have to give in to those temptations, especially the temptation to be selfish and focus on yourself more than others. That's a hard one, right? It's hard not to be focused on ourselves and just trying to get what we want and what we desire out of this life. The Scripture's clear that we are to do something with what God has given us, not just for ourselves, but for God's glory and the good of others. Over and over in the Scriptures you see it. And when you do that, you're getting what's best for you. That's what we mess up, right? We think, oh, I'm going to settle for some lesser thing. I'm going to settle for this truck, and you know, I'm going to invest all this money in it. I'm going to settle for this house, and I'm going to put everything I got into this house. I'm going to settle for this relationship, and I'm going to, you know, I'll cut corners with God if I have to make this relationship work, and I'm going to do all these things. I'm investing all this in these, but we're selling short that the life God has for you, the way He's called you to walk, will bring you more joy than any of that ever will. And if you put something before Him, you put it in jeopardy. He does not play second fiddle to anybody. He is God and there is no other. The Old Testament talks about working hard too. Proverbs 6:6-11 says, "Go to the annals, sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, old sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. The power lives in you, but you have to do something with it. You have to be willing to go and to do. You have to be like Isaiah when he's in the throne room in Isaiah 6, right? God tells him about how he needs somebody to go. And what does he say? He doesn't say, I got so much going on. These people hate me back home. I think they're going to kill me at some point. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, oh, God, I'm in your throne room and it's so awesome to be here. I just want to stay here. No, he says, here I am. Send me. How many of you have that attitude when you get up every day? Jesus, I know all that you've done for me. I see the depths of your mercy and grace. I see your great love for me. And guess what? I want to serve you with all that I am because of that. Because you love me. Not because I have to. Not because some pastor told me to. Not because it's in this checkbook of things I've got to do. But because I know that you love me and that you gave your life for me. And because of that, I'm willing to every day wake up and say, here I am. Send me. That's what it means to be a witness. We at Harmony, we want to allow you the opportunity to use that power. We create these ministries. We join others in these ministries so that you have the opportunity to put the power of God into work in your life. You think about the different things. The Operation Christmas Child, right? Not a big deal, right? Not for us. It's maybe $30 in a box. Right? And that's with the $10 to send it. Right? It's maybe $30. When those children get it and they get to hear about the love of Jesus through it, they are over the moon for what you've put in that box. And guess what? Maybe you have to say, well, maybe my kid doesn't need that $150 pair of Lululemon shorts so I can fill a few of these boxes, which $150 for shorts, it's ridiculous. If you got them on, I'm sorry, but it is. But prisoner packs, we do those. We allow our children to be a part of it. Why? Because we want them to learn at that very young age when they're so self-centered and egotistical, right? They are consumed with themselves. It's just what children are. It's part of the process. But we want to slowly show them, hey, you go shopping for these things. You pack these bags, not because you're getting anything out of it, because we're going to show others the love of Jesus. This is just tangible ways for us to tap into the power of God by denying ourselves, by saying we don't need some of these things so that we can do for others. To have love. These local school partnerships that we have, all of those are about putting ourselves in proximity where we can impact the world around us, the community God has planted us in with the gospel of Jesus Christ in whatever way possible. It's terrible. There's been suicides that have happened at Louisville High School in the student body. And guess what? They call Harmony and they say, hey, we got some kids that need somebody to talk to. And I've gone and I've been able to minister to those children. Right? I get to share the hope of Jesus with them as they're in this turmoil. This blessing box that we're trying to get goods for, right? It's just a take some time out of your schedule, go buy some canned goods, some shelf-stable stuff, whatever that means. Get that stuff and bring it here, and we'll put it in that box because there are people that don't know where their next meal's coming from in our community, and we get just this opportunity to allow them to have it. Harvest Fest, Sports Camp, these are places where we just get to pour into people that God draws to us. Harvest Fest last year, about 1,500 people that got to come. And they heard the gospel in the hayride, they heard it in the trunk or treat. I hope they heard it from some of you, and we're going to be more intentional about this year. We're going to have an evangelism team that walks around with the sole purpose of sharing Jesus with the people that come, as many as we can. And we need the power of God to do that, to be bold to step in it. This Pathways breakfast, we're going to serve the homeless in Rock Hill. We're going to serve breakfast for them. We're going to have a devotion that's going to share Jesus with these men and women. It takes boldness. It takes effort. It takes you saying, I'm going to display the fruit of the Spirit in my life. That's where the power comes out, right? I'm going to do these things. Foster family care. So many in our community have children in foster care, and we've got families in our communities that say, bring these children into my home. I'm going to care for them. I'm going to make sure they're provided for them. I'll give them a stable home. And so we say, okay, we're going to love on those families as that happens, as much as they'll let us. Some of them are hard-headed. Construction ministry. We go out and build ramps. We go and remodel homes at times. We go overseas and build things because that's what's needed. All of that takes the power of God to tap into. These ladies on Wednesday nights, once a quarter, going out and visiting the shut-ins. That's not comfortable for everybody. D'Angelo's scared to death of dogs. She's going to go to a house, there's going to be a dog there. She's going to say no, right? But she'll go anyway. That's tapping into the power of God. When you put yourselves in the position to serve others, God provides the power that you need in those moments. You might not think you could ever do it, but when you put yourself in the position to do it, when you boldly step forward and say, I'm going to do it, He gives you what you need. And I don't want you to just hear that from me. This morning, the Alaska Mission Team is here, and if you'd start making your way down to the front here, they're here, and I want you to hear from them how they had to seek God's power as they were witnesses in Alaska this year. And so each one of them, they're just prepared beforehand, so you might see some of them reading off of their thing or whatever, but they had to think about how they had to tap into that power. And I want you to hear about it, and I want you to pray on how God might need you to do that as well. A couple more coming down here. All right, this is Eddie Black. If y'all will, when we go through, just introduce yourself. Tell them a little bit about your trip and then how you had to tap into God's power this summer.
I'm Eddie. This is our 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, somewhere around in there trip. This year was a little different for me. They kind of took us out of our norms and moved us in different parks. And so I was just set on going just through the motions. God said, no, we're going to do something different this year. So it rained every day. So if you don't want to get wet every day, take a raincoat because you're going to get wet in Alaska. But the empowerment He gave me was not to look for the big crowds, just to be able to say, hey, we're here doing this for Christ. It is seek out one. Share your life with that one and let them know that Christ is working in you. Put a little boy in front of me. He's 14. His name is Lucas. And we stay in contact now. I text him like once a week, try to keep him in his Bible, things like that. But the empowerment for me was just don't seek an agenda just to be fulfilling something. Go ahead and find someone that God really wants you to disciple and make that your one. Because it takes one at a time to be able to reach someone in a family. If you get one, then maybe you'll get the others. So that's where He gave me the power.
I'm Kim Black. I think this is our 8th year going. And this year it rained every day we were there. So my prayer was for God to give me a servant heart like Christ. Because it was hard to get up every morning and know that you were going to go in the rain. And it was cold, and that you were going to turn a jump rope for a kid every day. So mine was to let me smile and be willing to do that with wet shoes, wet clothes. So as Eddie said, just pick that one child out. And mine was, his name was Junior, and he loved to play ball. And so I think we threw the ball and he hit the ball a million times, but just to see his smile on his face every day was one thing. And I thank God for giving me that servant heart to be able to go with a smile and just love on the kids as they needed.
Anthony Bolin, my wife will tell you how many years we've been going. when I get down there, but patience. So patience is a big thing that God empowered me with on really all these trips. So if you don't know me, I like to go to bed at 8 and I'm tired. And when I'm tired, I'm grumpy. And so you don't have a choice but to be tired on this trip. And then the time is 4 hours off, so my schedule is all messed up. But being able to have the patience, and then the biggest part of on the trip, we had a service project that we had to do. And when we got there, there's like 10 of us, and they don't have us on the schedule. How you don't have 10 people on the schedule, I don't know. But we were on the schedule, and then our park host is trying her best to get us filled in different places, and there's only 3 spots, and there's 10 of us. And I'm just trying to be patient and tell her, hey, we don't have to do this. But we ended up going and picking up trash out in the parking lot around the homeless community. But the Spirit used someone else in my life and really was able to speak into my life in that moment. We got done, and a lady was there and said that, you know, we share with what we do, and then she shared what she did. And she said that, you know, in the moments at the park, where we're at the parks or when the church is there, that we're able to take these kids out of chaos for 3 hours a day. And it made me think about our life here and what we do with foster care and how we're able to take these kids out of chaos. And it actually, the Spirit used that to actually work on me and kind of some tiring things that can happen here. But just being able and being aware of going all the way to Alaska and then letting somebody speak into your life.
My name's Hayden, and one thing that was, like, real hard was it was raining and cold all week, and it would have been real easy to just not want to go and be, like, hopeless and not think any kids were going to show up. But every day, all of us, we still went out there, and ended up a lot of kids showed up, even though it was pouring down rain and super cold. And I think that's just kind of how God gave us power to keep going to those parks. And we got to have a lot of good conversations with the kids and tell them about Jesus.
My name's Madison, and how God empowered me this week, is when you go, you're scared to tell the kids about Jesus, but God empowers you to have the strength and be able to tell them what you can. And even when you don't think that you're telling them about Jesus, just sometimes playing with them can share a lot with them.
My name's Tristan. I think it's our 6th or 7th year going. And like Hayden said, it was raining like all week. And we went to the park, and the amount of kids that showed up, I think it really like shows you how much they like being there and being around us, because even though it's pouring down rain some days, a bunch of kids still show up, and that's like where they have the most fun at, because most of them don't have other stuff they can do during the day, and they don't have people to play with at their house. And for me, I think God empowered me that week, because I'm not the best at talking to people that I don't really know. And every year when we go to Alaska, that fear of mine kind of just goes out the window, and I'm able to talk and have conversations with the kids that I've never met before.
My name's Kaylee, and I actually had the opportunity to go and stay all of July, so I was there for a while, and I saw God move in a lot of ways while I was there, but one of the ways that like stuck out to me, it was the last week that we were in the park before everybody left, and I got close with like a Native family. It's a family of 10, and they have 8 kids. There's 2 older siblings. I never met them, and then there's Safira, Shyla, Danisha, Lanisha, Felicia, and Marcus. So there's a lot of them, but I remembered them from last year when we were up there, and one of the last weeks we were there, they were getting evicted out of their house, and they didn't know where they were going to go, and the kids, they still came to the park. They came, whether it was raining or it was sunny, they came every day, and the last day in the park, I got to pray with the older girls, and then I saw Lanisha sitting over by herself, so I went and sat with her, and I prayed with her, and she started crying when I was praying with her, and after we were done, she hugged me and thanked me for praying with her, and you could just tell that, like, God was moving in her life as well, and so that was really cool. And then that last day, too, we took bags of clothes, shoes, towels, because those kids wore the same clothes the entire month that I was there, never changed. So we walked like 10 minutes down the road with trash bags and took them to their house. They welcomed us in. I ended up getting to meet their dad, which I've never met before. So that was cool. And I got to meet a lot of the parents of the kids that I've known for years now while I was there. And build relationships with them. But I think one of the ways that God empowered me while I was there was, even when you're tired, you don't want to do anything while you're there, God, like, reminded me that it wasn't about me. It was about the kids, because when they come for those, like, 3.5 hours while you're there, that's, like, the best part of their day and what they look forward to all day. So he just reminded me that it wasn't about me. It was about loving on the kids. And because they need that, because a lot of them don't get that at home. And I'm planning on going back for June and July next year. So,
I'm Courtney. I am Anthony's wife and most of their mom. But so again, this has been several years that we've been going. But I think when I think about being empowered to go on this trip, I think of, so like Anthony mentioned, so we're foster parents. And so we've had a lot of kids in and out our home for years and years now. And that is not something that you can do without the power of God working through you. So when we say that he empowers us, there's times that I've gone to bed thinking I could never do this another day. And then I wake up the next morning and it's fine. And we're good and we keep going. And I think that same power that I have from him, it's what I take with me to Alaska, because a lot of the kids there are living that same type of life. They might not be living in our house with me while we're there, but it's that same thing. And God, if you feel that, it might not be foster care, it might not be going to Alaska, it could be doing something else, and you don't have to go to Alaska to have that power of God in you. You could be here, you know, in wherever you're at, but that power is with you wherever you go, if you have that relationship with him. And so I think when Patrick asked us earlier this week, you know, to be thinking about something to say, and I was thinking about wasting the power of God, and I thought about that for days. And I was just thinking of all the things that we can do that we might be scared to do. We might not be sure how it's going to work out, but if God gives you that, and it might not be the big flashing billboard, it might not have, you know, this big sign. It could be that small, like, whisper that God is telling you to do something. If he wants you to do that, he's going to be right there. It might not go the way you think it's going to go, but it's going to go the way that he knows that it's going to go. But I think that is what empowers me, is just knowing that God is with me when we go on this trip, and getting there and through the flights and just the time there, and then turning around and having to leave these kids behind. But a God moment, I think, for me, which is kind of ongoing right now, and for however many years it's been, 7 years or whatever. So one of the kids that we met, several of us know from years ago, and this has been ongoing from that point. If you think of going somewhere for a week out of an entire year, you might not think, you might not really even know what kind of difference you might make, but this one boy we met all these years ago and introduced us to some of the parks by chunking the ball in the porta potty and, you know, cussing everybody out and all of that is how we met him. And over all of these years, that one week each year has held him and carried him. And, you know, I don't know that anybody has a name tag. Think of the little name tags that the kids wear each day. When you're in Alaska, you get a name tag. And at the end of that week, the kids can keep your name tag if they want it. This child, he's 16 now. He brought those name tags back the next year to show that he had that name tag of the people that he thought about and loved, and that that made that difference. We throw those name tags. Most of the time we peel them off before we even leave the church, you know, and so it's just, it's those little things. But I have been talking with him since we came back this year, and his home life is so terrible, but that connection that was made years ago from just that one week has been this evolving God moment after, and it took, you know, years to get to this point. I talk with him sometimes for an hour. Some days it's a text message, just checking in, but I've heard from him more than I have not since we got back from Alaska this year. And that just shows how you may not see the results of something you're doing. You may never see it ever, actually. But sometimes you get those glimpses and those little God moments of what you're doing and what might be there just from you stepping out and doing what God might be asking you to do. Okay, anyway.
Let me cool it off a little bit. Hey, I'm Jason, and like the rest of the team, I've been there several times. And the number of times really don't matter. It's that you do go, that you're willing to go and participate. That's what matters. So this trip this year, like some of the others said, was a little bit harder because before we even stepped foot in Alaska, one of our team members cracked their head open. We had to go get staples. We had to do all that stuff in the head. Like I said, it rained every day on us, and this is the first time that I've been there that it rained every day. Made the parties a little bit harder, preparing, cleaning up, just everything's wet, got grass on everything. But, you know, I just love doing missions. You know, it's kind of like our statement up here, you know. And it's very important that we go and do that, especially in Alaska. So the Lord impressed upon me the importance of this trip because several things happen and several things show up in the parks every day. One is the kids, they show up every day. It doesn't matter if it rains, it doesn't matter whatever, they're showing up. Satan shows up in that park every day. So we have to show up. Somebody that represents God has to show up in that park every day. And those kids, you know, you'll hear them talk about, we'll talk to them about, do you go to church? Do you read the Bible? You know, we try to see what exposure they get. And, you know, they'll say, well, you know, I come here to park, this is my church. So, you know, we're going there like 3 hours a day, 5 days a week for like 6 to 8 weeks. And if you do all the math, that's kind of equivalent to what y'all get here, an hour a week, 52 weeks. So they're getting it, right? That is their church. So, you know, I guess what the Lord impressed upon me on this trip kind of spoke to me about is we need to plan, we need to prepare to participate. And what I'm saying is every morning when you get up, or every evening, like me swinging shifts, it might be evening when I get up, but when you get up, put something in your pocket. You know, I got like a little acrylic cross. I got a little plastic Jesus. And I put that in my pocket every day. And there's nothing significant about that. What's significant is that I'm preparing and I'm planning to participate. And I'd like to challenge each of y'all, do that. Plan, prepare every day to participate in spreading the gospel.
I'll tell you one of the ways God did not empower me, and that was to do face painting. This little boy came up and he said, I want Mickey Mouse. And he sat down in the chair and I drew him a Mickey Mouse to the best of my ability based on the phone I had in front of me. And the little boy looked in the mirror and started crying. I didn't really feel bad. I thought you should have asked for something else. Lainey had one last night, and she just got shot up here, but Lainey is an aggressive young lady. I don't know if you know that about her. And she has a very strong sense of right and wrong. And so there's this little boy that came to our park every day, and his whole goal every day was just to make everybody else mad. And so Lainey would be near him, and he'd start messing with her, messing with people around her, and God gave her the power to walk away rather than engage. And so I was proud of that. for myself, it was, I mentioned her a few weeks ago, this little girl named Ellie, whose life must just be turmoil, would stand on the picnic table in the midst of everybody and just cuss and carry on and just very hateful and saying just terribly profane things. And normally I would think, that child just needs a whooping, right? Like, that's what that kid needs. But God gave me patience in those moments, and I was able to talk to her gently, more gently than I do my own children quite often, but talk to her gently and just show love to her, which was, I mean, it took God to do that because, I mean, it was a rough situation. But I want you to understand, these are mostly normal people, right? And so they're not some superstars of the faith. They're not people that are, incredibly outgoing or have something that you don't. They're just willing, right? And it's not about going to Alaska. That was just for the illustration here. That's for you to see how God empowered them there. It's about every day waking up and in every sphere of your life saying, God, I need your power to be your witness here. And so if you look in your bulletin this morning, you'll see a little paper I put in there. And I just want you, and you don't have to do it right now, but I want you as you leave here today over the next couple of days, I want you to pray and seek God for the power that you need in each one of those spheres. So Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends. And so that could be geographical, or that could be in those spheres. So in your house, in your workplace, in your church, and then people that may not know God at all in your midst, right? People that are on the fringes of your life. How do you need God's power in each of those places? And I want you to pray for God to give you that, and then I want you to act on it, right? It's not enough to just say I want it. It's not enough to just pray about it. Then you got to do something with it, right? So how can God empower you through that? And today, maybe you're here and you do not have the power of God inside of you because you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ. And if that's you today, I want you to know that today can be the day where you confess your sins before God, where you repent of them, and you turn to Jesus and say, you are my Lord, and I will do whatever I need to do to follow you. And it's not about cleaning yourself up. It's in this moment the Spirit of God has moved your heart to receive this grace. And I pray if that's happening in you right now, that you will submit to the Lord, and that you will follow him all the days of your life, that you might be able to stand up here or give a public witness one day of how great God is in saving you. And what he's done in you, he can do in others. I just close with this. The power is available. If you are in Christ, the power is available to you. The only question is, what are you going to do with it? Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, we love you. We thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you that you have given us this power. Not a power that we're to hoard for ourselves, not a power that's to make much of us, but a power that teaches us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and to follow you. And God, I pray for my brothers and sisters that are gathered here, that if they have been wasting that power, that today they might say no more. That they might say, there is something that I need to do. There's places I need to go with the gospel. There's a witness I need to be to about who Jesus is, what he's done, and who we are to be in response to that. And they will take up that cross and they will tap into that power that you might use them mightily in this community and across the world. God, I pray, if there's one in here that needs salvation, that you've moved their hearts, God, I don't want to talk them into it. I want your Spirit to move them, and I want you to draw them so that they can come to saving faith. If that happens, let them come forward and make it known today. God, I just want us to be a church that walks in the power of your Spirit and in nothing else. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.